We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. This is our part two of our Fresh Starts series. Last week we opened up with a new direction. How that we always, first of the year, make resolutions, and we talked about a new direction. That it's a time of our life that we decide sometimes to change directions for our health, for our finance, spiritually. And so Marjorie actually tapped on something a couple weeks ago that's kind of spawned this series a little bit. When she talked about how our resolutions, you know, the spiritual resolutions are the most important ones. Losing weight's all great and all. It ain't very fun, but, I mean, it is good. And, you know, change your finances, that's definitely a good thing to do as well. You know, budget better, spend less, you know, get out of debt, all that good stuff. But the most important thing is our spiritual resolutions, because that's where we grow. And that's where we really have peace and joy. And that's where we have, we hear from God and we grow in God. And so this kind of spun the series. So we talked last Wednesday about a new direction was our part one. Tonight, part two, we're talking about a new mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a new mind. Man. You can quit shaking your head now, Belen. It's okay. She's really going. I tell you, man, there are people who've lost their mind, ain't they? They have lost their mind. And the reason why that they've lost their mind is because they're filling their mind with the wrong thing. We're feeding our mind with the wrong thoughts. We're feeding our mind the wrong diet. Just like physically, you feel a lot better when you eat better and you exercise. You do feel better. It's not very maybe self-gratifying in the moment, but you do feel better. When we feed ourselves the right thoughts spiritually and give our thoughts the right diet, we are changing the outcome of our future. Because we are going to get different results by the way we think. I grew up watching this guy. I guess he still does it. I don't know. But I grew up with this guy that was an exercise guru from the 70s and 80s. And his name was Richard Simmons. Y'all remember Richard Simmons? A little short, curly hair guy. And he would come out and he would just motivate you. We're going to jump and jump. And jump, one, two, three, do you feel it? Jump, and he smiled. And he believed in his product because he used to be fat. And he truly lost weight and kept it off for years. And he motivated you, and he encouraged you, and you saw him, and he made you want to lose weight and made you want to dance and bounce and or do your aerobics because he encouraged. He put the right thoughts in the viewer's minds. You can do this. And, of course, he would cry sometimes. He was sensitive. And he would cry sometimes and tell them these stories about, you know, these people that were this and they lost and got down to here and it changed their marriage, changed their life, changed their, all this. And he was very emotional about it. And when you watched him, you got thinking, if he could do it, I could do it. If he changed his life, I could change my life. It's all about what the verse says, iron sharpeneth iron. And when you hang around losers, you become a loser. When you hang around winners, you become a winner. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. Second time that's happened, 2 weeks. I mean, I don't ever get choked up. I don't know what's going on. But our thought processes come from people. I can't open, I promise. I'm not that over the hill. Our thought process are built by the people that we're around. If you're around a negative nanny all the time, what do you become? A negative nanny. If you're around somebody griping all the time and, you know, complaining all the time and nothing's ever good, they hate their job, they hate the coffee pot, they hate the carpet, they hate the chandelier in their office, they hate their phone, they hate their boss, they hate their parking spot. My God, yeah, that gets on you. That's contagious. But I'm going to tell you, it's hard for somebody to treat you bad when you're walking in like Richard Simmons. Hello, y'all. It's a wonderful day. Well, I just like Mickey Mouse. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's a wonderful day. Our thoughts are so important that we feed our mind the right thing. And when it comes to spiritual things, we have to be careful because we can let even good Christian folks put the wrong stuff in our head. And that's why we got to listen to God and push out the noise and push out all the religious junk that does not go with the gospel, and we got to hear what God has to say. And I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 10. This verse for years has been a verse that I've really tried to anchor my life in. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare, and we are in a war, as we know, they're not carnal. They're not natural. They're not in the flesh. But our weapons are mighty. How are they mighty? They're mighty through God. And they're so mighty, they can pull down strongholds. But we have to get that in our mind first. We have to believe that. We have to, you know, if you're a salesman, you have to believe in the product to be really successful. As a pastor, I believe in the product. I believe in the gospel. I believe in Jesus. I believe it is what it is, and there's no doubt about it. I believe that Jesus changed our lives. That's the product as a minister that I promote. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe in it. That's in my head. It's in my thoughts. People that don't believe in something aren't very successful at it or not very motivated to be successful at it. But we have strongholds that can be pulled down through God's power. And look at verse 5, how it follows up with these weapons. We are to cast them down, those imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now remember, Paul had a lot of opposition because Paul was preaching Jesus. And the leaders didn't like it, and the Pharisees didn't like it, and the Romans didn't like it, and the scribes didn't like it. And he was preaching Jesus. That's what he preached, is what he believed in. And he had to keep his head clear and not listen to all the stuff around him trying to tell Paul he wasn't in truth, he wasn't preaching truth, it was a falsehood. He had to keep his mind clear and say, I'm not going to allow the negativity and rebellion and disbelief of others to get on me. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to follow the crowd off a cliff instead of standing on your own ground and saying, no, I'm going to choose to be different. It's hard to be that way, but I'm going to choose to be different. And we are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when something comes against our lives, okay, what does God's word say about it? God, what do you say about it? Because if you're not behind this, if you're not in this, I don't want this being filed in my brain. Because our thoughts produce results. Whatever comes into our minds and we dwell on and we think about, we eventually produce outwardly. So it's important that we're inputting the right things, that our mind is on the things of God, and that we are rejecting and pushing away anything contrary to the word of God that would pull us down and pull us under. Now, I know we go through trials and tribulations. There's verses that talk about that. I mean, Job is, you know, had a lot of problems. Jeremiah was a woe prophet. You know, Paul had many persecutions and afflictions. I get that. But through all of those things, these men of God and these scriptures always pointed back to God and his greatness and his power, his ability to pull them through. Their mind was always on the victory is still mine because of. And so I'm not going to let people put me in a box and pull me under. Like I said last week, I refuse to let defeated, discouraged, miserable people steal the joy and peace that God's gave me. I'm not going to let that happen. Because, see, I know who I belong to. I know who I serve. I know who my Father is. I know where I belong. And I know he's got me and he is keeping me. And so any other thought that comes against my mind, these things will try to pull me away from the truth of God's word or the power of God's word. Because I know God still heals. I know God still saves. I know God still delivers. I know God can still pull down strongholds. And that's what I'm believing this year. And that is our motto this year of breakthrough in this year. There's going to be a breakthrough for the people of God to where that wall is no longer standing there holding them back. But we have to get over the hump in our head and realize it doesn't have to always be this way because it's always been that way. That we don't have to stay right here because we've always stood right here. But that we can make a change by changing how we feel and think and letting the right thoughts pour into our lives. Quit listening to those negative people that will tell you this is your lot in life. You're like your daddy, your mom, your uncle, whatever. This is how it is. Say, you know what? I'm going to change my circumstance by changing how I think. And I'm going to think on the things of God. I'm going to let my mind rest in his goodness and his mercy. Because the more we dwell on the things of God, the bigger the more we get pulled out of the rut that we're in when we're hearing what God has to say. Because people will discourage us. The news will discourage us. Christians can discourage you. Have right thoughts. Next scripture. This is in Romans 12:2. We know this verse. Paul talking. Be not conformed to this world. The word conformed means not to be fashioned after the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't just follow what the world says or what someone else says, but let your mind be renewed. Let it be restored, refreshed, almost reprogrammed at times. Because sometimes we get locked into a program and we would live our whole lives locked in there. Instead of, and here's another thing. I am a person. I know what I believe in. But at the same time, I'm open to hear what God has to say. And sometimes we close a door on God because we've never heard it that way. We've never read it that way. Never been preached that way. Don't close the door on God. Have your borders of your mind open to the point that God can come in and do something different in your life that maybe just because he's not done it that way before. Look at all the miracles Jesus did. They were different. I mean, he spit in his hands with dirt one time, healed blinded eyes. You know, he drew in the sand one time with the adultery woman and wrote some kind of message in the sand. He walked on the water one time. You know, he raised the dead one time. I mean, everything he did was out of the box. It was different. It didn't line up with any protocol whatsoever. And sometimes we get in our minds a certain way of doing things or a certain way of believing things, and we can't get any further because we're too rebellious or too stubborn to let our minds open up to say, God, what do you want me to do and what are you speaking to me? Just because I've heard a truth for 30, 40 years doesn't mean that I can't allow God to speak to me something now, something in this season of my life. And we miss out sometimes because our minds were programmed. And God's Holy Spirit can reprogram us and can pour a renewing and a refreshing voice and a word and a spirit into our lives that we need right now. Because we're in a different season. And talk to Mon about this. You know, we love to. She's talking about your video that you shared, you know, and I've been in services all like that, you know, with the dancing and stuff, and it's great. And I love to dance the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand this, too, that there is everything, God has seasons for things, and God has revelations for seasons, and God has different doors for different seasons of our lives. You know, I'm in a lot different place spiritually than I was 25 years ago. And I'm not saying I was in a wrong place then, or I'm in a wrong place now. I'm in a different place. Remember when God called Abraham out? Was Abraham in the right place when he called him? Yeah. Abraham was exactly where he was supposed to be when God called him. But what did he say? Leave now and go to a place I'll show you. Go to a land I'm going to show you. God, just trust me. Go to a place you don't know, you have no knowledge of, you don't know what to expect, but I'll be there. So what I can trust God spiritually is, Lord, the church has changed, the landscape has changed, maybe some of the movements changed. But you've not changed. And so, God, I want to be where you're at, and I want you to speak a word that I need to hear right now, and I don't want to hang on to yesterday's manna, and I'm not ready yet for tomorrow's manna, so I need today's manna. I need today's manna. I need today's menu. It's, you know, I need Fish Friday or Taco Tuesday, whatever it is I need. That's what I want, God. And so yesterday's manna wasn't wrong. And tomorrow's manna won't be wrong. But sometimes because we're hung up on yesterday or we're waiting on something yet to happen, we miss out on what God is doing right now. The beautiful work that he is doing in this generation in 2018 for the people of God. So that's where our minds have to say, Lord, renew my mind to see things as you see them and to hear things as you hear them and to think things as you think them. Give me the mind of Christ, as Paul said in one place. That's what I want, God. I want the mind of Christ because that's never wrong. Next scripture. This is Romans, that we may prove acceptable and good. Now, Joshua 1:8. This goes back, of course, to the old covenant. This is right when Moses died. But the promise hadn't died. That's the good news. The messengers will die, but the message will not. The promises of God will never fail. They will never pass away, but they will be fulfilled. So Moses died. They weren't quite in the promised land. So what happens next? Joshua is raised up by God to carry them in. And look what he says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's a little word, a little bit odd. But what it really translates into is this word of God shall continually depart out of your mouth. So this word of God shall continually depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do what is right, Brandon. Oh, thank you. According to all that is written, do all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And the key to that is meditate on the Word of God. Now, we know we're not under the law anymore. So keeping all the Ten Commandments don't guarantee a success and prosperity. Not, we're talking about today's generation of grace and mercy. But it's still important we meditate on God's Word. Why is that important? What we meditate on is what we receive. What we meditate on is what we allow to come in to our spirit. If you're meditating on God's Word and you're in worship, you're in prayer, you're in thought of the things of God, you're allowing the Spirit to speak to you and teach you, guess what's happening? You're being filled and your thoughts and your minds are being shaped and formed with the things of God. You know, music is so dangerous and so because it's so powerful, whether it's positive music or whether it's negative music. Music is a powerful thing. There are people, music triggers people to do certain things. There are certain songs, there are certain types of music that trigger addictions in people that they do things because it triggers them, because there's a power in music. That's why when the organ is playing, the drums are beating, man, that's why we like to dance. There's power. There's power by that presence and that spirit of music. And that's why there's also power in that depressing music that makes you want to just end it all. Because there's power in that too. So we got to be careful. If we're always filling our minds with horror movies, gory horror movies, and you walk down your hall at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to the restroom and you're jumping at everything you see, it's your own fault. Because you filled your mind with Jason. Everything you see, because you filled your mind with that. But man, you go to bed praising the Lord or thinking about Him, thinking about His goodness, you ain't going to see no Jason at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to see Jeremiah, hallelujah, not Jason. Hey, Jeremiah, what you doing up, brother? You're meditating. What you meditate on becomes part of you. And so God's telling Joshua, don't forget to meditate on My Word, to do what I've told you to do, because when you do that, you'll have good success and you'll be prosperous. We got to change how we think. You know, with our young people, our teenagers, kids are, I know you're going to disagree with this, Courtney, and you know, some of you younger mothers, Belen, got your little kids, but you think it's the hard years. I promise it's not. I've been there and done that. Well, you've done that too. You've not done that yet. It's not the hard years. They might, you know, sassy and a little bit, but they're sweet and they're little and you still beat their hind end and control their whole lives. But man, something happens at about 14 or 15. There's a switch. It's like God just, whoosh, there it is. And all of a sudden, am I not right? They just change. And it's like, who are you and what do you do with my kid? It's amazing how that changes. And my point is this. You try to tell them what's right, what's wrong. You try to get them to listen to you because you know if they'll listen to your advice and your counsel and get that in their head, get that in their thoughts, well, here's what mama says. Here's what daddy says. Here's what my father always said. You get those. I mean, I know you adults in here, you can remember things your mother and father told you. It stuck. It's stuck right here. And some of you live your own lives now because of what you heard your parents say. Those thoughts never left you. Well, the same token, those negative thoughts that we experience, all the negative talk that we experience, all the negativity in our lives we experience, that also can crush us and break our spirit and pull us under and pull us down. So we must say, God, give me a new mind. Let me hear Your thoughts and what Your Word says. And don't let my thoughts be shaped by the outside world, but let it be shaped by the Holy Spirit. Let my mind be shaped by You, God. Because You have plans for me, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. You have plans for me to bring good and not evil. And as the more you read the Word of God and the more you read His Scriptures, the more encouraged you are because these Scriptures are speaking to us today. They're not something ancient or way back for yesterday. These Scriptures still apply to us today. I know Jeremiah is talking to Israel. I get that. But guess what? He's talking to all of God's people. And that message is for all of God's seed. Because God does have plans of good and not evil. That's why He died on the cross and He gave us the kingdom of God. That's why. He paid all of our sins. That's a pretty good plan for us. He paid all of our sins. Paid all of the penalty. And now we have His righteousness because He paid for our sins. That's a pretty good plan. And that was for good for us. And so as we remind ourselves of that, you know, Psalms 23, right? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And I love how it closes out in verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we get those thoughts in our minds, guess what? We're charged. We're empowered. We're encouraged. Because all the woes of this world, they just fall flat at the feet of that scripture. Because it can't shut down what God's already promised. Man, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and his goodness and his mercy shall follow me. How many days? All my days. Hallelujah. All of them. I may not feel like he's following me. I may feel like he's nowhere to be found. Hey, God. But he's there, I promise. He is there. And as we meditate on his word, we are so changed by that word. Verse 9 says this. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed or discouraged. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you goest. If we can get that in our head, God, you're with me. Everybody tells me you're not around, you don't bless, you don't help, you don't hear, you don't heal, you don't set free, that you don't really care, that everything's just a roulette wheel that just spins around and how it is. But God, your word here says that you are with me wherever I go, not to be discouraged. So why am I discouraged? Because I'm not getting the right thoughts in my mind. Why? If I know God's with me, how can I be discouraged? If I know God's with me, how can I be dismayed? If I know God's with me, can I be courageous to face tomorrow, the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow? Because God's in every one of those tomorrows forever and ever. That's what I got to get in my mind. And we got folks that have a certain way of thinking, and they don't change that. And that they feel like this black, remember that Charlie Brown cartoon? One of them had that little black cloud, rain cloud always following them. A dirt cloud, pig pen. Everywhere he went had that dirt cloud following. Some of us live our lives that way. You know, we got that attitude, got that mentality, you know, that victim mentality. Everything's always everybody else's fault. Let's read God's word and see what God says he has done for us and he will do for us, and we won't blame nobody else ever again for anything because God's got us. It's all about how we think, and we know that. Thinking is a people that get so desperate they end their lives is because of wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts. They get thinking in a very desperate way and they lose hope. And all they can think about is what not, the what nots of life, what I don't have, what I can't be, what's never going to happen, and they lose hope. I see Jewel Fan. Are y'all hot? Just you? Okay. Weird weather this week. Goes from, you know, 8 degrees to 65. But think differently. You say, I can't change the way I'm thinking, Pastor. I hear the message, but you know what? I was born this way. I've got this gene. I've got this. As we meditate on God's word, his Holy Spirit can change our thinking. It can change how we feel. It can change how we see things. It can change our perception. It can change the picture of what we've always painted with our own negativity, our own disbelief, whatever that is. But God can change and completely give us a new set of eyes. Gosh, I see it, God. How did I go 30 years and not see that? But now I see it. Because we've allowed our thinking to produce a different result. Next scripture. And I'm going to talk about three people as an example of who their mind was right. They had the right thought. This is talking about Caleb in Numbers chapter 13. Remember, they sent out 12 spies to spy out the land to see what was going on. To see who was in the land, how big they were, how much weaponry they had, how they were staged. They were trying to get a strategic plan. So they sent 12 spies out. Caleb come back and said this. Nevertheless, the people, they're strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. So the people are big, and the city is secure. And they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. They were like giants in that time, and they were there. The Amalekites, they dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites are over here. The Jebusites are over here. Amorites over here. They dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So he's given a diagram. They're big, they're strong. The city's walled, and they got plenty of people all around. But Caleb stilled the people. Now, this is what this report from the other spies. But Caleb steps up, and this is what he says. He stilled the people. He calmed them down. And our day-to-day, he'd be like, chill, dudes. Just chill. And listen to me. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What made Caleb have a different perspective than the other spies? His thoughts were on his God and not on his problem. His thoughts were on the size of the God he served and not the big old giants of Anak. His eyes were on God and not the city wall. His eyes were on God. His thoughts were like, Lord, we can do this. I believe you, and I believe you're God, and I believe what we can do, and I'm not going to be sucked into thinking differently because they're big. Boo-hoo, they're big. But they're not bigger than you. I mean, honestly, let's put this in perspective. Does it matter to God if someone's 8'2" and 400 pounds or 4'8" and 100 pounds? That makes no difference to God. But yet they were defining and putting God in a box, saying, man, they're big, and they're strong, and the city is secure, and there's a bunch of them. Psst. Caleb's like, psst. So, man, let's go kick some hind end. We serve a God, and we, look what he said, we are well able to overcome. That didn't just this happened in that moment. It's because Caleb was following God. Caleb believed in God. Caleb's mind was on the things of God and not on his circumstances. It didn't matter to Caleb how big, how strong, how secure. He just knew God. He just said, hey, I trust God. We're well able. What are y'all waiting on, you bunch of pansies? Come on, little girl. Come on, ladies. Let's march. That's what he was saying. Next verse. The men that went up with him, different set of thinking, right? Different mindset. Look what they said. I can picture the droopy the dog right here, right? We be not able to go up against them, for they are stronger than we. What a different perspective. Caleb's like, man, let's go. It's war time. Woo! Let's go. And don't nobody get offended by that, please. And then the other spies, we can't do it. They're stronger than we are. Why? They weren't thinking right. Man, they were thinking about themselves. They were thinking about their limitations. They were thinking about the circumstance. They were thinking about the obstacles. They were thinking about what they couldn't do. Caleb thought about what he could do because his mind was on God, and he knew God could make them well overcome any adversary or obstacle that stood in their way. Two complete contrast of mindsets. Which one are we tonight? Are we the Caleb? Yes, I've got battles, but man, I can overcome. And yes, my battle's real. My battle, Caleb wasn't denying the battle wasn't real. He wasn't denying the walls weren't big. He wasn't denying the people weren't strong. He just didn't let that stop him from knowing they could have victory. Which side are we on? Are we a Caleb that says, yes, we can do it? Or are we an Eeyore or a Droopy that says, it's bigger than me and I can't do it? Man, y'all need to watch Rocky IV. It's my favorite Rocky. Rocky III is pretty close, Mr. T, but Rocky IV, man, this Russian dude and how Rocky comes back, and even in Russia, they start calling his name out at the end, Rocky, 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 Rocky. Oh, man, it was awesome. Man, be a Rocky. Rise up. It's the eye of the tiger, baby. You know, rise up, man, and say, be one of those. Because we as Christians, guess what? We serve the same God. We may worship different, be at a different level spiritually, different level with knowledge of the Word of God. But we all worship and hear the same Lord. And He is God over all. He is Lord over all. He is King over all. And that's what we got to get programmed this year in our minds. That what held us back last year is not going to hold us back this year. I'm not going to be one of the 10 other spies. I'm going to be a Caleb or a Joshua in 2018. And I'm going to look at things differently because I'm going to look at God differently. Man, we limit God so much because we think our circumstance is bigger than Him. We think that there's a problem that can be presented that makes God go, uh-oh, or what do I do now, or scratch His head. Man, there ain't nothing will get God off guard. He's God. Next scripture. That's Caleb. Two different mindsets. Here's another guy we know very well, old David, right? Little young shepherd boy, just a kid here when we're reading this. He's just a kid, still a teenager. I mean, a kid. 1 Samuel 17:32. Remember Goliath had came and presented himself to Israel, and this big old giant had intimidated a whole nation, a whole army. Nobody would fight him. They were scared of them. I mean, we're talking about soldiers. Can you imagine our U.S. Marines today saying, I ain't going over there? They wouldn't want to fight them. But here's David, man. He's a shepherd boy. He had no warfare experience, no military background. He kept the sheep. David was truly a lover, not a fighter. Look what it says here. David said to Saul, King Saul at that time, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant, me, David, I'll go and I'll fight him. Let me at him. You know, just let me at him. I'll suck him. Next verse. Saul said to David, look what Saul said. Trying to plant the wrong seed in David's mind. Unintentionally, not doing it wrongly, just not believing in the God David did. Saul said to David, now imagine, you're in the Marines, and your sergeant says this to you. You're not able to go and fight the Philistine. Can you imagine the army hearing that, Gail? You can't go beat them, Gail. You're a U.S. soldier, but you can't go beat them. He's telling David, you can't win. You're but a youth, and he's a man of war. Next scripture, Brendan. David said to Saul, now here, I love this. David is giving his resume. David is telling Saul why he can, not why he can't. Notice he made no excuses. He didn't say, well, how many of us would say, well, you're right. I know I'm young. You're right. I know I'm old. You're right. I know I'm poor. You're right. I'm not very gifted. You're right. I'm not very educated. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't do that. Yeah, I guess I am a dreamer. Not David. He began to list his resume why he can. He said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and I killed him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I killed him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the Lord, the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, go. Lord be with you. Paul is thinking, don't you love David's mindset? Man, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. He ain't that big and bad. I mean, think about this. I don't know about y'all. I think I would rather probably face a giant than a big old bear in the mountains chasing me. I don't know. You didn't get away from no bear. I mean, David could have got away from, he could have ran from a giant probably. But what his mind said, he said, you know what? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to get him. Because the same God that did this, king, he's going to do this. His mindset wasn't even maybe, could be, possibly. I hope so. I pray so. God have mercy on my soul, so. He said, God is going to do it. David's mindset, his thoughts, was on God. He wasn't picturing the giant or the size of the giant. He was picturing the living God whom he had served, and he'd experienced God's glory and power already. See, when you've experienced the power of God already, when you've seen God move, when you experience God's healing and deliverance, you know he's in that business. And when things come up in the future, you're like, you know what? I remember when God did this, and he'll do it again. I remember when God did this, and he'll do it again. That's why it's important that we always, as Joshua 1 says, we let the word and we let our testimonies come out of our mouths, that we remind each other of what God has done. Remember when God did this in 1975. Remember when God did that for me in 1984. Remember when God did that for me in 1993. Whatever it is, we remind ourselves and each other what God did. Because that puts thoughts in our minds. You know, God did. Oh, yeah, God did do that. Man, yeah, God saved you from death. He can do it again. Don't matter what the circumstance is. Don't matter what the giant is. God can do it again. So we see Caleb's mindset. We see David's mindset. Here we go. The Philistine said to David, now here comes the battle. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field. Goliath's talking to David, trying to psych him out. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. You got all the stuff you might think you need for victory. But there's one thing you don't have, and I got this. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come against this situation in the name of my Lord. I'm not going to let the possibility of defeat be what overpowers my thoughts. I'm going to let the possibility of victory be what overpowers my thoughts. I'm going to see victory and not defeat. I'm going to see God's goodness and grace and not the devil's attack. I'm going to see that I'm going to break through and not that I'm going to stay boxed in. It's about our perception. It's about how we see. It's about how we think. Some of us, I know some of us are, I know there's genes. I don't deny there's DNA and there's attributes that we get from our parents, our grandparents, our cousins, our siblings, all that. I get that. I know there's certain things. You know, you may be a person here that's a little bit stubborn. And bless your heart, you've prayed for that your whole life. You've been slopped with oil and baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're still stubborn. I get it. But it doesn't mean that we can't let the things of the Spirit of God change us and change our thoughts. And we don't always, that don't always have to be a barrier in our lives. That don't always have to be a crutch in our lives. I think sometimes we like our crutches because, guess what, it holds us up. But it's holding us up with the wrong intention. Right now, Marjorie needs that crutch. It's holding her up. Without it, she would be a lot, it'd be a bad situation. But she don't want that crutch. She would much rather not have the crutch. Not having the crutch is much more beneficial for her life than having the crutch in the long term. Right now, she needs it. But she's better off without it. Spiritually, sometimes our thoughts are our crutches that we hold on to because we like our box, we like our security, it makes us feel good. But man, God's wanting to break that box wide open and take us to places that we've not experienced because we're not letting our mind take us there. Because we're holding on to something. God, no, this ain't going to happen. God, no, I can't do it. God, I've been told I can't do it. God, I'm not this. I'm not strong enough. I mean, David should never have been king. Man, David was the ninth. Jesse had seven sons. And he said, you got any more? Here comes David. I mean, can you see the dad? You don't want him. Look, I've got Fred. And I've got George. And old prophet Samuel, I've got this guy. He's a good son. He's strong. He's good looking. He's fought wars. Nah, that ain't it. I want David. You want David? You really want David? But nobody else but David could do what God called right here. He was the one. And David's mind was right because he had been meditating in that field as a shepherd on the things of God. His time was spent talking to his father. And when the time came, he was ready. One more person we'll talk about. This is in Daniel. Well, let's finish reading this. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. So here's David speaking it. Today, he's going to deliver you in my hand. And I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give them to the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. This day, to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. I'm going to do it. David's telling him, he's telling him what he's going to do. I'm going to do it. There's no doubt about it. I'm not just talking a football junk on the field. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. How could David say that? He was emboldened with the power of the Holy Spirit because his mind, his thoughts were in the right place. You never make a decision when you're confused. And that's the counsel I give anybody that asks me that. You never, when people say, I'm not sure what to do, I feel like that. I said, you have peace. Well, not really. Don't do anything. You don't do anything. You don't make a decision at all with no peace. Because we've learned through life experience, when you make decisions and you don't have peace about them, they're normally wrong decisions. And it may look right in the moment, but if you don't have true peace about it, just sit on it. Wait and let God speak to you. We can't jump the gun because someone else tells us to. You got to hear from God yourself. And we got to be patient to hear his voice and to know exactly where he wants us and when he wants us to do it. And that takes having a mind that hears from God and clearing out the junk that we put in there. Because sometimes we can get too much counsel. Sometimes we can overextend ourselves. And sometimes we got to get away somewhere by ourselves and say, God, I'm not leaving until you speak to me. I'm not leaving, God, until I hear something that gives me peace. And so be careful what you allow in your mind. And don't think because you're thinking a certain way today that that can't be changed. It can as you let God do it. Now we're going to Daniel, Brennan. Oh, okay, go ahead. Can't get rid of David, can we? All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It came to pass when the Egyptians arose and came, they drew nigh to meet David. David hastened. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And he went right to him. He took the fight to him. David put his hand in his bag, took a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his head, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. A slingshot, a kid's toy, took down this great, ferocious adversary. And we know it wasn't the slingshot that took him down. It was the power of God that took him down. And the power of God could not truly be exercised. It could not be fulfilled without the right thoughts of David. Sometimes our life cannot be fulfilled because we're not in the right place in our mind. We're not in the right place. We're foggy. We're in a dark place, a dark season, a confused state. And so we wonder why things aren't working out, why there's no direction, why we're here instead of where we want to be. Let's clear our minds and say, God, I want the mind of Christ. God, I want to hear you and let his thoughts begin to fill you. Let him begin to encourage you. Let his word flood your soul. Then you'll start thinking right. You'll start seeing life in the meaning of how it's truly meant to be. We'll have a vision that God wants to see. Next scripture. This is it. We'll close out with Daniel. None of the scripture. This is Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. three Hebrew men who were living in a paganistic nation, who were surrounded by unbelievers, who were surrounded by different many gods. And this king, Nebuchadnezzar, had made a decree. They had a big old festival, a big old get-together, a big old rally, go play all this music. And when the music played, everybody was to bow down. But these three guys did not. Verse 15 in Daniel 3, if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour, immediately, right then, into a burning fiery furnace. And I love how he closes this out. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Are you serious? Talk about an arrogant guy, right? And who is this God? If you don't bow, who's this God you so love? This God you so worship? And so we've got to be careful about that too, because this generation, we realize we're in the most unbelieving generation. We're in a very dark generation in many ways. And people don't maybe believe in God the way you believe in God. They don't think God's speaking the way you think God's speaking. And all this false music is all around us. And God is saying, will my people stand in a broken generation? Will they stand when all the music is playing and the majority of people are bowing down? What will my people do? Will they stand on the name of Jesus? Will they stand on the word of God? Will they believe and call upon me? Will they not deny me, or will they fold? And all this starts with how we are thinking. It all comes about where our mind's at. Is our mind in the world? Because if it is, that's the way we'll drift. Or is our mind in the things of God? See, that's what kept me so much as a young person. It was that foundation I had, but more than that, it was the active relationship I had with God as a young person. I had an active relationship with God, and I kept trying to keep my mind on the things of God. I mean, you know, I never went to a rock concert or a country concert. I mean, I listen, even as a young person, I listen to Christian music. Now, I listen to some other stuff too, not much though, not really. Most of the stuff I listened to, even as a teenager, was Christian music. It was, some of more contemporary bands, that's what I filled my mind with. I went to church regular, filled my mind with that. I prayed regular, filled my mind with that. All of that filled my mind. And when our minds fill the things of God, that's what grounds us. That's what keeps us. And that's what gives us strength and power and peace and joy, when our mind is grounded in those things. So who's that God can leave you out of my hands? And I'm glad they asked, right? I'm sure they're glad they asked. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they said, King, we are not careful. Don't have to think about this to answer you in this matter. Here's the dealio, King. Here it is. Here's the deal. If it be so, our God, who we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Man, their mind was so set that whatever happened, they won. God can do it, but you know what? If we're a marshmallow, I'm out of your hand. Either way, I win. Come on, me advance, right? Either way, I win. You told me that before. You know, I win. Birdie won. You know, don't like being sick, but I win. I'm in God's hands. I win. Sickness and disease doesn't cause us to lose if we're in Christ. Discouragement and fear doesn't cause us to lose if we're in Christ. Tribulations and storms and battles doesn't cause us to lose. Strongholds don't cause us to lose if we're in Christ. We win. Either way, as God's people, we are out of the hands of this world and out of the darkness of the evil spirits that run it. We're out of it. Because when that time comes and that sound is made once and for all, those in Christ will inherit a kingdom that will never pass away, and we win. And they're trying to tell the king this. We're not careful. I don't have to think about it because I already know what I think. I mean, you're talking about boldness. I mean, how many of us would do that? I think about, we all have certain fears. Some of you, it's snakes, maybe dogs, maybe you're claustrophobic, maybe it's heights, maybe it's water. Think about what you fear the most. And if someone approached you and says, if you don't bow, I'm throwing a bunch of rattlesnakes on you. Or I'm throwing you in a body of water 30 foot deep and you can't swim. Or I'm sticking you in a, oh my God, an elevator and the doors ain't go open. Or even worse, my God, I'll stick you in a cruise ship out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, think about your greatest fear and that decree being made. I mean, it's no picnic to know you're going to get burned up. You're going to be cremated alive. A live cremation. Going to throw you in this fire if you don't bow. We're not careful to answer you. We'll be out of your hand. Next scripture. Is that it? Okay. If it be known unto you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image. They made their mind up. They wasn't wishy-washy. They wasn't tossed to and fro as a sea. They had their mind made up because their mind was grounded by God. Here's the key to success and blessings in our lives, is that we stay grounded in God, that when obstacles come, adversity comes, we remain grounded. And that's what's hard, because it's easy for obstacles and battles and situations and storms to pull us off course. And then we find ourselves in a place we're not supposed to be. But if we'll stay grounded, there's going to be storms. The water's going to rise, stay grounded. The fire's going to be around you, stay grounded. The giant's going to laugh at you and try to attack you. Stay grounded. No matter what happens, stay grounded. And the way we stay grounded is we've got to know God. The way we know God, we've got to talk to God, read about God, and meditate on God. And let all of that form a new thought for us this year, that I'm no longer going to be swayed every time something happens in my life. I'm not going to run every time something happens. I'm not going to give up every time something happens. I'm not going to throw the towel in every time something happens. I'm going to get grounded this year and get my mind right with God, so when those attacks come, I can be like Shadrach and say, you know what? The attack is here, but I'm not going to bow, I'm not going to bend, and I'm not going to break, because I know who I serve, and he is well able to deliver me from whatever comes against me. Mind's got to be straight. Verse 19. What shall you... Oh, yeah, we're closing out with this. Romans 8, 31 and 37. This is Paul talking. What shall we say to these things? Now get these last two verses. If nothing else, close out in your mind. Get these two verses tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, if God is on my side, who can possibly take me away from his side? If God is with me, for me, in me, how can anything take that away from me? It can't, Paul says. And then verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Not through us, not through religious things, not through the church. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's what we need to get in our minds. Lord, I'm more than a conqueror through you. God, I'm more than a conqueror through you. David was more than a conqueror through him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were more than conquerors through him. Caleb, the children of Israel, were more than conquerors through him. It was all about God's power being upon them to get them to where they needed to be. A new mind in 2018. A new mind. Get your thoughts. Meditate on God's word. Speak God's word. And when things come against your mind that you know aren't right and you know are pulling you down, dismiss it. Don't let it plant a seed in your soul, because that seed will burst something in you that you don't want to have to reap. Every negative thought, turn it away through the word of God. Remember when Jesus was tested in the wilderness for 40 days? He was fasting and praying, and the devil came and tested Jesus 3 times. And what was Jesus' response? How did he get through that? 3 times he came back with the word of God. 3 times Jesus spoke against Satan with the word of God. That because Jesus' mind was on his Father's business. When our mind's on our Father's business, when our mind's on the word of God, we won't be so quick to let every little thing come in and disrupt our lives. There's things that happen. There's real issues in our lives that happen. Bill didn't want to have a hip replacement at 40-some years old. That's a major surgery, a full hip replacement. That's a major deal. Put him out of work for several months. Didn't stop him, though. He's gotten through it. He's back at work. He's moving forward. He got stronger. He's gotten healed. Still has some pain, I know that. But he is moving forward. How many times do we let, quote, a surgery in our lives keep us from moving forward? Because I can't do it anymore. I'm maimed now. I'm weak now. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. The way we get over hurt, the way we can be forgiving, the way we let bitterness leave our souls is we get our minds with God right. And I understand bitterness is a real thing. I get that. And hurt is a real thing, and pain is a real thing. And it's hard for us to let go of that sometimes. But don't become like them. Become like him. And let your mind be restored in 2018. Any comments tonight? Any questions or any? I want to add anything before we close out. Bill? But a good listener will not always be anxious to respond. Sometimes a good listener will wait and process what's being said and then respond. Some of us are trying to come up with a response before we ever hear the full question. And I'm guilty of that because of the way I'm wired. And I try to work on that. Bill's right. If we would back up, instead of trying to just respond, let's first listen. Let's just listen and let God respond into our lives. That was beautiful. And a great story about your mom, too. That's beautiful. Good word. Anybody else? I know we're a little bit over tonight. But y'all look happy. Christy looks cold. Yes.
And so until we release these crutches and open our hands, then we can receive from God what we need. And we can also give what we need to give. And we can do what we need to do when we don't have them.
Great analogy. A great visual analogy. She's exactly right. Your crutches, it limits you. It limits to what you're able to receive or give. It's a limitation. Very good point. Anybody else? Thanks for being with us tonight. So good to see all of you. Good to see our Lejeune with us tonight.